Now we're going to talk about breast cancer. Breast cancer is one of the hardest diseases to describe physiologically because there's huge amounts of variations. First of all, there's a diverse molecular, phenotypic and pathological changes. So it makes it really hard to try and describe it as being caused by this or that, etc. And not only that, but when you think about the structure of breasts, they vary quite a lot from person to person. What are the risk factors for having breast cancer? Well, the number one risk factor is being a woman. Men can also get breast cancer, but they're not at such great risk. Genes, genetics plays some sort of a role in some cases, not that large a percentage. So some of the genes that we're more familiar with now are the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, but there's lots of other genes being identified. We also know that early onset menstruation followed by late menopause can also influence the number of pregnancies a person has, what age you are when you first become pregnant, if you're 35 or older. If you don't breastfeed, that can increase your chances of having breast cancer, obesity, diet, maybe even exposure to light. So there's many, many different kind of risk factors. And we know it's an interaction between genetically susceptible person and some of these environmental factors. So it's again very complicated. When we think about normal physiology and homeostasis, remember when we think back to cancers, cells should normally divide, but they should stop when they're required, and they should commit apoptosis, cellular suicide, when asked to do so. Breast cancer cells don't. Plus they don't seem to attach to other cells and they don't stay where they belong. So the most common type or area of the body to be affected with breast cancer are the epithelial cells that line the ducts in the breasts. And when these develop, it can lead to lesions which can invade the normal tissue. And then if these become malignant, the cells can actually spread into the lymph nodes, particularly of the armpits, and then they can metastasize and spread all over the body. So the kind of effects you'll see depends on what area of the body are affected by this. So when you think about homeostasis, you have to think about what does that part of the body normally do, and if it's now affected by cancer, what will happen. But if you think about normal female physiology, and you think about your typical ovarian and uterine cycles, you've got to remember that that estrogen rises during these cycles and it binds onto receptors in the cell. Normally estrogen receptors are going to be inside the cell in the cytoplasm, and there'll be proteins, and then that receptor protein plus the estrogen will go to the nucleus and it will bind onto the DNA and you'll start producing some form of protein. And the end result is that this stimulates cell division, particularly lining of the uterus, say, ovarian cells and breast cells. And the more divisions you have, the more chances there are that as the cells divide, they can mutate. And when you're pregnant, it lowers the exposure. And also when you're breastfeeding, the theory is that maybe that helps flush out the lining of the ducts. So, I don't know, maybe that somehow helps in terms of having breast cancer as well. Some of the genes involved, we know that various genes help us repair our DNA damage. And so if some damage has taken place, you'll help repair it. But if they've been activated by mutations, that will increase your risk of breast cancer. Many of the genes involved are genes which involve control cell division. So perhaps also it's classified as a mismatched disease in that years ago we know that millions of years ago natural selection favoured women who devoted whatever extra energy they had towards reproduction, and that's particularly through the action of, or partly through the action of reproductive hormones such as hormones, as estrogen. So now what we've got, though, is we've got a surfeit of energy, estrogen, and other related hormones. And when you think about it, if you think about how many menstrual cycles a typical woman experiences now, it's far more than they used to do in days gone by. Days gone by, most women would have just had multiple pregnancies and been exposed to less estrogen. And then we also know that people who are obese also seems to predispose them to certain cancers as well. So somehow that's related to fat. And obese women apparently can have up to 40% higher estrogen levels compared to non-overweight women. So terribly difficult disease when you're trying to sort of explain it physiologically, because so many different things are going on. But definitely looks as if it has something to do with perhaps exposure to high levels of estrogen, and maybe genetics and some of the other risk factors we talked about.